In Jesus' most agonizing moments before his crucifixion, he commanded Peter, James, and John to watch and pray. Jesus then went on to moments of fervent prayer in the garden. Unfortunately, those disciples failed in their assignment, and Jesus found them sleeping instead of praying. In this study, evangelist Scott Pauley will lead us and challenge us to watch and pray, to pray faith-filled prayer for God to move and work in our generation. Be sure to listen after the study for details about a special prayer resource Scott is making available through this series. And now, let's join Scott Pauley.
Most of us live our lives with a to-do list. Maybe it's a written list, maybe it's a mental list, and maybe it's a short-term or long-term, but there are things you want to get done, things you want to get accomplished. So what's on your to-do list today? And on that to-do list, what's most important? What is your priority? And of those, is God included? Is the Lord considered? Is anything on your to-do list on God's to-do list? We return one more time today to this amazing passage in Mark 13. It's one of the watch and pray passages. And it's really just captured my attention because it is so powerful, so pointed. Listen to it again. Mark 13, beginning in verse 32, down to verse 37. Jesus said, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Now, we've already identified what we don't know. We got to start there. Let's just be humble enough and honest enough to say there's things we don't know. And one of the things we don't know is the timing of our Lord's return. We just don't know. Then we identified what we do know. That's the certainty of our Lord's return. He is coming. He could come anytime, and he will come suddenly. But there's one more thing I think you have to identify in this passage, because this is what makes it more than talk. This is what translates to our walk. This is about more than just believing Christ is returning. No, how will it affect our behavior? We have to identify what we are to do. In the meantime, in anticipation and preparation for our Lord's return, not only the timing of his return and the certainty of his return, but our responsibility until he returns. Why did Jesus even give this passage? Why are we even having this study? Why are we trying to emphasize what Jesus emphasized about watching and praying? Because the Lord has left us here for some reason. If you're breathing right now, God is not finished with you. So don't you die before you die, and don't you quit before God is finished, and don't you give up before our Lord returns. You have a work. You have a privileged responsibility to do, and I wonder today if we are really fulfilling it. So what is that responsibility? What are we to put on our to-do list? Well, let's identify two things. First of all, we're to work. I know that because in the context, the story that Jesus used was a work story. A man, a master, who left his house with a group of servants, gave them the authority, meaning by that the commands and the wherewithal to fulfill the commands, to do his work, and gave them specific assignments. In fact, in verse 34, we read this word, "and to every man his work." Not just a work, but a definite, specific, personal work. And he commanded the porter to watch. That was the man on the wall. So everybody has their work. Now, we don't work for our salvation. Do you really think you could work your way to heaven? That's impossible. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you could never work enough, get good enough to attain the righteousness of God and go to a perfect heaven. The Bible says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." So it's the Lord's work. It's the work he accomplished on the cross. It's the work he accomplished through his resurrection. It is the work he accomplishes in us at the moment we put our faith in him. The work of salvation is the Lord's work, not our work. But that being said, he has saved us unto good works. So, yes, we believe in good works. Yes, we believe in working for the Lord, but we don't work our way to Christ. We work because we've come to Christ, not toward the cross, but from the cross. We work because he has saved us. Are you a worker for the Lord? You know, some people who just are kind of floating their way through their Christian experience are going to be pretty ashamed when the master comes back. Notice, please, he has a house. It's his house. Now, we know he's preparing an eternal house for us. He told us that in John 14, the Father's house, many mansions. The Lord's making a place for you. Are you excited about that? But don't miss the fact he's left you an earthly house. He's left you a certain assignment and responsibility here. What is his earthly work? I believe his earthly work is being done through the local New Testament church. It is his spiritual building in this world. I'm not talking about the meeting place. I'm talking about the spiritual work the Lord is doing in bringing people to himself. So it's his house. Then it's his authority. The Bible says that he gave authority to his servants. It's one of the last things Jesus said to his disciples before he left them. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. The word power is the word authority. All the authority belongs to Jesus. Every enemy under his feet. Everything under his control in the end. So we have his house, we have his authority, and then we have his assignments. The Bible says that he gave to every man his work. Every man has his work from God. And by the way, we don't determine this. The master determines this. We're just servants. So may I ask you a personal question today? Have you identified the work God has assigned you to do? Do you know for sure why God has left you here, what he saved you for? He didn't just save you from something. He saved you for something. He didn't just save you to keep you out of hell or to take you to heaven someday. He saved you to serve him today. Are you one of the Lord's workers? Are you one of the Lord's watchmen on the wall? Are you finding your place and doing your part to glorify Christ, to point others to him, to encourage other believers? Are you busy doing his work? In another one of his parables and stories, he uses this phrase, occupy till I come. The word occupy does not mean fill a church pew. It does not mean take up space. No, the word occupy means work, labor, serve the Lord. Let's get with it. Some of us need to get up, get off the bench, and get back in the game. Stop being spectators and become participants again. And so, what do we need to do? We need to work for the Lord. And then, the second thing, and I save it last, not because it's least, but because really it's the great emphasis. We must not only work for the Lord, we must watch and pray. Jesus' closing words in verse 37, "What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." It is a word for us all, and it is a word for all times. In fact, the command here, that's what it is. It's an imperative, watch. But the command is in the present tense. So this was not just for them, this is for us. In fact, I believe those of us living on the edge of eternity, on the verge of the coming of the Son of God, on the brink of the end of this age, ought to be most watchful, wide awake, alert to what God is up to in this world. We watch for the day. We watch for the return of the Son of God. We watch for ourselves. We watch for souls around us. What are you looking for today? On your to-do list, what do you hope to check off? Are there any spiritual goals and objectives there? Are you praying today that God will use you to bring some sinner to Christ, to plant some gospel seed, to see some definite prayer answered, to further the work of God in this world and advance the gospel in some way? Check your to-do list, because it might be that some things need to be added and some things need to be removed and some things need to be reordered. If we don't know when he's coming, but we do know that he is coming any time, we must do something with what we know. Christ is coming, and we must watch and pray.
Are you guilty of the sin of prayerlessness? Do you know the mechanics of prayer, the form, the right words, but struggle to pray, to have a consistent prayer life? Scott would like to provide a resource for you that he believes can help create habits of prayer in your life. His resource, 30 Days of Prayer, is available for download on our website, enjoyingthejourney.org, and also in the show notes. We thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us for each lesson from this series. And may the Lord help us as we seek to have a consistent prayer life.